Heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, the draft is almost here. It's a big time. It's one of the ways to get better, of course. Not the only way, but an important way. And to share some insight on the draft and many years of experience in those draft rooms, the great Jerry Reynolds joining us here on Locked On Kings. Jerry, how are you?
I'm great. Just really enjoying this 105-degree weather.
I'm sure you are. You're the only one. So if the phone rang and you saw on the other side it's Danny Ainge, do you answer that phone?
Sure.
Okay.
Feels I really like Danny. He's one of my favorite. Enjoyed coaching him, enjoyed knowing him for these years, and certainly, of course, I will say this, you better hold on to your wallet, because, I mean, I think Danny's as good, if not the best in the league at what he's done, and I think he's on his way to doing a little more, you know. I mean, he built a championship team there in 2008, and within 10 years has got the Celtics, you know, on the right track again toward being a serious contender.
Yeah, we can't know what any of these guys will be, but if he's willing to move on from one, which is going to be Fultz, to get to three and maybe more and to get all those picks, it just feels like he's doing it differently than everyone else. And usually when his different is right, seemingly.
Well, yeah, I think people sometimes forget that the year that they got Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, that had the second pick in the draft, they was going to get the third pick in the draft.
Right.
I guess that's right. And of course, was hoping for the first pick, and had they got it, they would have taken either Durant or Oden. And I think he told me that he probably would have taken Oden, like a lot of guys would have. But he didn't. And so converted it into those guys, built a championship team by trades of picks. I honestly think that may be what he's thinking about now. My own read of it is that he at least was convinced that Fultz wasn't so much better than two or three other guys, and that if he had to take the felt he could get the same quality of player for his team at three or thereabouts and more with it, I think he would have very clearly would do that. Or more importantly, I'm still kind of convinced that he's just getting more assets in order to get a veteran player that can make them better. And you know, I think he knows that there's no 19-year-old that's going to come in and really make the Celtics better.
You know, Jerry, not that I, you know, at one point you had to do this where you scouted these guys and worked these guys out and watched all the college games. You don't have to do that anymore, and you've got your own job with the Kings and a full-time deal with broadcasting. But when you have had a chance to maybe read something or see something on this class, I'm just curious your opinion on who you think would be a good selection if they landed there at five for the Kings.
Well, there's, you know, and certainly I don't have anywhere near the knowledge or information that Vlade or Scott Perry or any of the Kings front office does. But, you know, I do watch quite a bit of college games and different things. So, you know, so there's guys you kind of catch your eye. I do really like De'Aaron Fox. I think, you know, I see some flaws and I see where he could miss his shooting, but he's a spectacular athlete in the open court, and you know, he's not going to get much slower. And you know, if he learns to shoot, he could be awfully good. So I really like him. I like Jason Tatum from Duke. You know, to me, kind of one of those guys will be there. And I'm not saying, you know, in my opinion, I don't know if Tatum would be the best, but he's a small forward, very skillful, and I just don't see either one of those guys missing. Whether they either one would be stars, I couldn't tell you, but it certainly they would fill positions for the Kings. You know, Tatum, a small forward, which Kings really need, and of course De'Aaron Fox, the young point guard, which the Kings need, or you know, and the league needs. So, you know, I think those two guys come to mind that pick would be I'd be very comfortable with personally.
Yeah, and if they stay as is, as 5 and at 10, would you feel more comfortable to take a risk at 10 knowing that you probably got a pretty good player at 5? Or does it just fall into, hey, this is our board, this is the next guy, this is what we want? I mean, how do you think that kind of plays out in a traditional draft situation?
Well, I do think with a team like the Kings, it's not a playoff team. It's got quite a few holes. I still think they should be looking for best player available. You know, you might overlap, but what the Kings don't have is what they're looking for. You know, at least we don't know that they have them right now. They may is stars. The NBA is a star league. You don't win without guys who are NBA All-Stars. And so, obviously, you know, a person would say, well, geez, at 10, why would an All-Star be there? Well, the same reason Klay Thompson was at 11 or Kawhi Leonard was at 15 or Isaiah Thomas was at 60. I mean, Jimmy Butler was at 30. Mm-hmm. You may get your best player, at 10. And because you don't know how it's going to go. You know, you may feel that, as I just said, that De'Aaron Fox would be a terrific pick at 5. I think he would. But, maybe you take Isaac from Florida State at 10 and he turns out to be a better player. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. Ask the Golden State Warriors about Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green, right?
Sure, sure. And, you know, in your years of experience, now you were in all these situations basically from year two when the Kings got here up till a few years ago when you were in the basketball ops side as well. What's this week like, Jerry? I mean, we'll say the Kings, for example, at 5. Does Vlade pretty much know this is my guy, or is it fluid all the way up to that day? And I know it's contingent on what happens before you, but you've got to have all those. I mean, do you really literally play out 100 scenarios so that you're prepared for everything?
I think you do. I mean, and there's always something that you're not prepared for. But I do think, part of your first question, I think Vlade knows who he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're by now, you know, I think they've got their mind made up. If the 5th pick, we keep it. You know, not to say, you know, I think that's some of the scenarios they're looking at, considering trading it. And they should. If there's something that would help them more than a potential pick. Now, I don't think that's the likelihood of that is so low. It is very low. But so I think, they've got their mind made up, you know, who they would like to be there, who they think will be there, and who they'd prefer to be there. I think that's pretty well set.
So in your 25-plus years or so in that front office type of position, draft day, let's go to that. How crazy can it be? I mean, I envision phones ringing every second. Oh, who wants this pick? I don't know if it's like that, or is it you get a call here and there, and then maybe you're on the clock and someone calls you. Or is it year to year? How does that kind of go?
Well, it is a little bit year to year, but it definitely always gets hectic. Now, just how many trade proposals are thrown out there, how many people are trying to buy picks or future picks, all that stuff gets thrown out at different times. I've always said, and I really believe this to be true, if there's a trade that you want to make that's a good trade, you should have heard about it a day or so before the draft.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, invariably a lot of things are thrown out just to see, you know, it's kind of fool's gold. Because if you haven't had enough time to really study what the other team is throwing your way via player and or this or that, and you got an hour for the pick or something, it's like, I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. I think there's a reason they waited till late.
I want to ask you about kind of the actual decision. So we'll just go a few years back when Jeff's running things, Wayne Cooper's there, you're in the room, Scottie Sterling, all the people that would help make this decision. How does that go? I mean, Jeff's the final say, but what if you're saying, hey, I like this player. Scottie says, I think we should do this. Maybe there's 50-50 or Wayne Cooper's here, Jeff's here. How differing were the opinions? Is it that drastic or is it between one and two guys usually? How's that go?
Well, it varies. There's been years when it's been a lot of different opinions or several different ones, say, you know, as opposed to who the Kings should actually take with that particular pick. And then there's been years where it's been pretty unanimous. The reality is the top guy votes a stock. You know, he makes the pick. And then, quite honestly, once that pick is made, then you are unanimous.
Yeah.
It has to be.
You better be, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the way it needs to be, you know, because, but the Jeff made the pick, and he made the final decision. He listened to everybody. He was great about that and took everybody's input. But, I'd have to say, you know, not this, some people at some time maybe had a little more influence than others, but at the end of the day, he ran the franchise like you should and made the picks. I've been in that situation, and I felt that's the way I wanted to do it, get everybody's thoughts. But, you know, good or bad, you got to make the decision, and there's only can only be one decision maker. Yeah. So, you know, if it turns out it's on you, if it turns out bad, it's on you.
Yeah. I'm curious, in your years of doing that too, hey, nobody's going to get them all right. You're going to get some right. You're going to miss on some. What's a player, whether the Kings drafted them or not, that you thought they got to get this guy and they didn't? Or they, you know, maybe I'll word it this way. Who's someone that you thought so highly of that didn't pan out, and then vice versa, that you kind of went, I'm not so sure this guy's going to make it in the league, and then they became something, whether they were a King or not?
Now there's been so many. I'm just trying to think of some of the best examples because of guys that you thought just would. Well, I can tell you one. He is a guy the Kings actually drafted at 33, Hassan Whiteside, some years ago. I really didn't think just after we had him in. I mean, I just didn't think he was mentally equipped to ever be an NBA player. And certainly it looked like that was the way it was going to play out. There's a lot of other issues too. And of course now he's, and to his credit, whether it's been mental, physical, all those things, but he's now found a niche. It took him half a dozen teams in Europe and NBA and D-League and everything else. But he has made it. And I just never would have thought that would happen. And then, conversely, I always remember a player named Larry Hughes that was in the draft with it was a great draft and he was an okay player. But it was a draft of stars and he wasn't really one. And I thought he would be, I thought he had a chance to be a real star, but he had the quickness and the athleticism and all that but he just never could shoot well enough. And it's like so many guys, you say, well, if he learns to shoot, he can be a real star. Well, he probably could have, but he didn't.
Is working out for the team a big deal?
Bigger probably than it should be. I think I've always said it seems to me like the body of work ought to be the most important thing. And if a guy's played a year in college, at least that's 35 games. You've got to focus on, and that's 5-on-5 against, generally pretty good competition, as opposed to sometimes the workout is one against none, especially with high lottery picks. They don't even really work out against anybody. So, how much can you tell from a guy shooting layups against himself, So I think, the best thing, some of the workouts like that, other than just getting to know the kid and getting some idea of what kind of a young man he is, how much you think he's going to work and progress, and some of the medical stuff you put him through, get some accurate reading size and all that, as well as some psychological profile work. We used to do a lot of that, and I thought that was really helpful.
I'm thinking back to, I want to say it was 1990 when you guys had four number ones.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Simmons, Mays, Coswell, and Bonner. Wow, were you getting a bunch of? I mean, I think of that in present day, people were trying to. Oh, the King has got to move some of those picks. Were you guys getting calls back then? To
well, actually, we moved guys to get picks.
Okay,
it was really a totally to just start all over, and so we got rid of some veteran players in order to get some extra picks, and of course it's like anything. It's very difficult to be good with draft picks, and people would say some of the draft picks didn't work out, which they didn't. But from where they were picked, it wasn't that bad. Travis Mays was, I think, the only mistake. I took him at 14, but I traded him the next year for Spud Webb, who was a very good player for us for a lot of years, and then Travis was out of the league in a couple of years. But Lionel Simmons was number seven pick and end up as runner-up to Rookie of the Year. And then Anthony Bonner, I think, was 18 or 20, and I think he played 10 years in the league, you know, for a couple teams. And, of course, Coswell,
yeah.
You know, we like a lot of fans, like, he still hasn't got a lot of the shot-blocking records here. But, you know, he never – but he was, like, 23rd pick, I think. And I know he ended up getting rich at Miami, I think. Mm. Coach Riley thought enough of him to give him a long-term big-money deal, which, you know, didn't work out for them either. So, you know, that's what happens. You know, I look back on that draft and at some of the guys we could have taken, but it wouldn't have made a whole lot of difference at that time because, like I say, Sibbett Simmons was really good, and had he not got hurt, I think he'd have been several-time All-Star, but injuries happen.
Yeah, you know, fans, media, we're always going to look back at drafts. How difficult is that when, even if you get a player that's not – I mean, I always do the example of let's see what year it would have been, about 2009. Yeah, nine. Drafting Tyreke Evans. Nothing wrong with him. Rookie of the Year, good player. Well, Curry is a sensational player. So now it looks different than even then. How do you balance that when you go, well, Tyreke kind of worked, but in the end, Curry's going to be a Hall of Famer. That I don't know that you missed, but it's just he's the better player.
Well, I think you have to treat it like, well, you didn't make a bad pick. You just didn't make the best pick.
Yeah.
Obviously, Curry was the best pick. Tyreke was the best pick for two or three years.
Mm-hmm.
And as most fans recall, I mean, early on in Curry's career, there was a real question whether he would ever stay healthy enough to play.
Mm-hmm.
He had serious ankle problems. Now, I always say it's kind of ironic. Now it's Tyreke's body and knees that are broken down.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, look, whether he'll get to have a career or not, you know, it's ironic and sad, you know. I mean, not either young man deserved anything bad, but I look at, you know, I mean, you can look at it every year a little bit on those kind of things. I mean, even that year, well, Blake Griffin was the consensus number one, and rightly so, but if you could probably do that over, you'd probably take Curry over Griffin now.
Sure.
And so I think, but that is a fair question. It's like, I think Vlade made an excellent pick with Willie Cauley-Stein at six or seven. I don't remember the number. But then you look back, well, probably Miles Turner at Indiana at 12 and Devin Booker at 20 or so would probably both be viewed higher. But Vlade, in my mind, had a really good draft because Willie not only is a good pick, he's better than a couple of guys that were picked ahead of him.
Sure.
So, you know, you can play the game, but you want to play it fairly, I think. You know, in other words, there's always going to be somebody taken later, you know, that you wish you'd taken. I mean, I always say you look at the great Utah Jazz franchise years ago that was built on back-to-back drafts of a 13th guy taken Karl Malone and a 14th guy taken John Stockton.
Yeah.
And they were both very unpopular drafts at the time. You know, worked out pretty good for him.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it just, and that's, you know, it's kind of like the Kings when they took Peja Stojakovic and Jeff got booed for taking him 14th, and the fans wanted John Wallace from Syracuse. And, of course, you know, you look back and you say, well, Wallace was a bust and Peja was a major star. Of course, you can also play the game that Steve Nash was 15th.
Right.
He was after.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you just at some point you just want what you can't afford to do, and we've talked about this, is just totally miss.
Right.
Like the Kings did with Robinson and Fredette.
Yeah.
You know, have lottery picks that simply are miss. And really, you might say even with Ben McLemore to a degree and Stauskas. I mean, You've just got to have guys that they don't have to be the best at that number, but they have to be guys that have really can establish real value to where if you wanted to trade them, you could get something back of similar value, you know, of that draft or another draft.
Yeah, and how much do you think of this process is the actual environment you get drafted in? Because I'm looking at kind of a Rolodex of the Kings' history of drafts, and I see years where the team was really good, early 2000s, getting Gerald Wallace 25, Kevin Martin 26, Garcia 23. Well, the team was good. Those guys come in and fit in around veterans that are just awesome, and the picks look good. But if those, if Kevin Martin's on a bad team and picked fifth, well, go save the franchise. That's an entirely difference. Like Tyreek and DeMarcus were put in that spot. Go save this franchise, and that's a lot of pressure on those two guys.
Yeah, it's impossible. You know, and it'd be the same way for the whatever 19-year-old comes in today.
Sure.
Or, you know, in this draft. But you're right. I think it's a great point there. I think with those guys, besides the fact they were joining a really good team, they didn't get to play.
Mm-hmm.
They had to earn their minutes. And, you know, that's I always said that was, I think, one of the big mistakes that we made with, you know, just a few years ago with Ben McLemore. Just given minutes.
Right.
You know, we drafted you, so therefore you're going to play big minutes. And I thought this year, Vlade, and decided, you know, sent the guys, several guys down to the D League, all of them, you know, to play and to prove themselves and to feel like they have to earn their way to the league. And I think that is very important. I mean, there's some guys that don't need it, but most do. And I look back at that a little bit, you know, and then, like, say, with Martin and Garcia and Gerald Wallace, they knew if they didn't really get better, they would never get a play.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't have. You know, I think that has a little. And then, plus, they've got the great guys to look at. It's like, whoa, if I'm going to play, I got to be as good as him.
Right.
That sort of thing. And so it's all part of it. You know, I've always said, as great as Kawhi Leonard is, if the Kings had drafted him, would he be a star? Yeah, of course. But it might not have happened at the same rate, at the same level, and all that. It might have taken different forms.
Yeah, and I remember something that stuck with me that you've told me before. Basically, the scouting here, everybody gets the right guys. I mean, these guys belong in the league. It's just the number. I mean, you might get it in the wrong order. So if we look at, I mean, like, why do you think a guy like Thomas Robinson didn't work? If the Kings didn't take him, someone up high was going to. Jimmer.
Yeah.
People thought highly. Why do you think those, like, two specifically, just it didn't work?
That's a great point. I mean, they would have been drafted, if the Kings didn't take them, they would have still been taken a spot or two lower. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe had they been taken lower, it might have worked for them. Now, like, you take Thomas Robinson, I always say that he should be a pretty good player in the league. If, in my mind, he never has come to grips with the fact that he doesn't have a handle and he's not a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defend and rebound, you know, be a junkyard dog kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, if he'd do that, I think he could carve out a very good niche for himself. But he's an undersized four, and you know, it's kind of like Kenneth Faried. You know, go find a way, and he hasn't done that. And then with Jimmer, I think, of course, really, it's kind of a dysfunctional situation, and he really is too nice a kid, mm-hmm. truthfully. You know, he, or say Jimmer, really needed to punch somebody in the nose in about his fifth game. It might have been good for him. But I think with better teams, honestly, I think he's too good a shooter not to have found a niche. And he still might. You know, the guy's a great shooter in a league that needs that. But he really was too soft. You know, you hear the term soft. And really, Jimmer was way too soft at that time. I think he's made a lot of progress. Truthfully, I think he's better than quite a few guys in the league right now, but sadly, that's the way the league is. Once a couple of teams give up on you, then they bring in the next young guy to see if they can do better.
I want to go back 1 year before that, 2010. Kings take DeMarcus Cousins, obviously a tremendous talent. You redo that draft, he's either one or two with Wall. How concerned were you guys draft night? You knew the red flags, that what that might be like, or was it just, no, we're on board, we're taking Cousins?
Well, I think there were real concerns, yes. It was, you know, I definitely think, you know, Jeff had some real reservations about, you know, with things with DeMarcus, and you know, and he would even consider some other guys, you know, that might not be as talented, but would long-term be better for the franchise. And matter of fact, would even been true. But so there were concerns. I mean, and when you look at the guys taken in front of him, you know, like Johnson from Syracuse of Minnesota at four, I think that was his name.
Yeah, Wesley Johnson, yeah.
Wesley Johnson, yeah. You know, and obviously that hasn't worked. And so But, you know, sometimes you just take the talent, and really there's no doubt that DeMarcus should have been no worse than the second pick in that draft on talent, and maybe the first.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Hall of Fame talent, and maybe John Wall is too, but nobody else is in that draft.
Do you think it's more, well, you always want to draft right, we know that, but is the league setting it up where it's almost more important than ever because of the way, you know, you can get these guys for 4 years as rookies, then if you like them, you have those options like they had with DeMar, you know, that second contract, that second run. It almost feels like it seems more important now, Jerry, to nail it than maybe ever, because the league really wants you to keep these guys for long term if you can.
Yeah, and I think it really probably is even more important, number one, and more important than that for probably small market teams.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the ability to acquire free agents as easily as some of the bigger markets. So, you know, you're not as much a destination, so the draft is your best chance, especially of getting a real star.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, I mean, I think once you've got some stars, then players, they'll go where the good teams are. And the trick is to get to be a good team.
Right.
And I think that's why, you know, you look at what Danny Ainge has done with Boston, you know, and he's basically has not had really good draft picks, but he's made good trades, acquisitions, you know, to get a Bradley in the middle of the draft and a trade to get him Jay Crowder, who's a nice role player, and you know, finally they can get you know, an Isaiah through trade, which, you know, he gets a star for nothing. Then all of a sudden Al Horford decides, well, that's a good place to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now you know that Jimmy Butler or different guys in the right circumstances, or Gordon Hayward. I mean, there's free agents or top players that would certainly be willing to play there.
Yeah.
So it's a, you know, and that's the challenge for Vlade going forward. And I think I think with the draft last year's turned out in my mind pretty darn good.
Yeah, I agree.
And if they hit on say these two picks and they're both good young players and they still have a good chemistry that we saw with the coaching staff and everything, things could multiply, you know, pretty fast. You know, you'd be in a position maybe to take some current players and maybe get with a pick and maybe go get a proven young veteran star type. And that's, I think that's what has to happen going forward. You know, we've talked so many times about how the Kings, when they did everything right in one kind of 1 year, but they still had to make trades to take the team from one level to the next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that a Corliss Williamson became, it was exchange for a Doug Christie, or you let a Tony Delk, who's a good player, go to create room to get a Bobby Jackson,
Jay Will was
traded for Mike Bibby, and all those. I mean, had they none of those things happened, well, the team would have still been a playoff team, but it would have never been a 60-win team. It would have continued to win and be a, you know, 45-win team, probably, maybe even 50, but it would have never been a serious contender. So there's always steps even after you get to the playoffs. And, of course, that's why I always, when I hear fans say, oh, we don't want to be in the playoffs, you know, because we just get beat. It's like, well, until you get in the playoffs, you're never going to be able to contend. You
right.
have to get there first and figure out what you need in order to get better.
Yeah, and that's why I agree with you. I think between, what, Willie, Buddy, Scal, maybe number 5 and number 10, they don't all have to be studs, but if you find 2 or 3 out of there, I mean, that's your core, and that's the group.
Yeah, exactly, and you might find, and we're all hopeful that let's say maybe Scal Labissiere in a couple of years is a star.
Right.
Or Buddy Hield has established himself that he can be a 20-point-a-game guy that could be among the better two guards in the league. These things we don't know yet, and you can't know yet. Certainly they have proven they belong in the league and they're good young prospects with a lot of potential. And that's the key. And that's what these two picks coming up have got to be, that or more, to be able to come in and say, okay, well, maybe they're not the second coming of Magic Johnson, but this guy is a really good player. And we're both old enough to remember Mike Conley when he first came in the league. It is not the Mike Conley we see now.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
and I think that's what the benefit of being around forever. You can remember some of those things. That it is a process, and I don't want to sound like Sam Hinkie, but but I mean it you do have to have patience and all. And if I just kind of feel like the Vladis, you know, and company can put together enough young players that eventually you don't want a whole bunch of 20-year-olds, that's for sure, because I can assure fans that a bunch of 20-year-olds do not win anything.
Right.
In the NBA, it's a grown men league, and it takes a while. You know, Kevin Durant couldn't lead anybody anywhere his first couple of years in the league, but he looked pretty good this year.
No doubt about that.
You know, so I think, you know, just get good young players, develop them, and then you can always move guys that are good for something else.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that was the thing with Cortis Williamson. Well, he was an excellent pick for our 13th pick.
Sure.
Excellent player, and went on to have a terrific career and sixth man of the year on a championship team. And Jay Will went on to start on a world champion as a starting point guard. But it's also true that by trading those guys, it made the Kings better. And that's how you get better, is have good players you can trade for players that fit better or are better.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping, Jerry, that, you know, this Thursday with 5-10 and, you know, 34 can still be, as we said, an all-star, a huge role player.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you may get a Frank Mason or somebody.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, shoot, he might turn out to be better than De'Aaron Fox. I don't know.
He could.
And for all the people say they do know, they don't.
Exactly.
They just don't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that's the key, is just, you know, go. You know, I always say the year that Jimmer Fredette was the 10th pick, Isaiah Thomas was 60.
Yeah, that worked out okay.
Is there anybody that would doubt one was better than the other?
Nope.
Yeah. So I think that's what you want to do is get somebody there. You know, I mean, you can get somebody that can play in the league and might turn out to be the surprise. I mean, very likely, you know, we saw the Brogdon kid, the second mm-hmm. round pick at Milwaukee. Could very well be rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of, as I recall and you recall, and the fans had several point guards that just can't miss guys, but they weren't as good as he was.
Yeah, they miss. It does happen.
It does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's hope there's more Peja, J. Will, Cousins-type draft as opposed to the T-Rob or Doobie draft.
I think so. I really like to. I think, you know, Scott Perry's going to really add a lot. And Vlade has gotten better and better, I think. And you know, I know they're doing their homework. And I think it's such a good draft. I think they'll do well. And, you know, like I say, I don't think there's any doubt they're going to get a couple of guys that can really, really help this team. And I'm not going to worry about if the fifth guy taken, the seventh guy might turn out to be a little better. I could care less, as long as he's a really good player and a good kid and keep that chemistry going and develop this team and have fun with it.
Absolutely. Well, Jerry, enjoy the draft. Try to stay cool. We appreciated the draft stories, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Well, always, always fun, Mr. Ross, and it will be. I think it will be fun just to see the draft and then see summer league, and you can always tell a little something in summer league.
True.
You can't. I always said what you can learn in summer league is if the guys really can't play.
Yeah, that's scary news. Usually, if you find out something in summer league.
Yeah. So I think we're going to have a fun summer here.
No doubt. Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
That's Jerry Reynolds joining us here on Locked On Kings. Thank you to Jerry. Thank you to all of you that have been listening today and throughout. I really do appreciate it. We're back again tomorrow, where we'll have another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.